Welcome, great patriotic friends, to October 15th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do the show is for the men and women serving in the military. If you are serving or if you have ever served, thank you for your service. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're ever looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. That's Teresa with an H. And let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Woohoo! America! And now on to today's headlines. The draft card is burnt in protest. The Cliff House in San Francisco opens up. Clarence Thomas is confirmed to the Supreme Court. And Greenstein passes away. He helped to discover quasars. All right, so now let's do this. 1965. David Miller becomes the first to publicly burn a draft card. In protests of the Vietnam War, demonstrations were being held all throughout America by several groups. Miller was part of the National Coordinating Committee to End the War in Vietnam, which splintered off the National Mobilization Committee to End the War in Vietnam. Members of the Coordinating Committee convinced Eugene McCarthy to run against Lyndon Johnson for president. Miller, meanwhile, was arrested and imprisoned for 2 years for the public draft card burning. 1863. The Cliff House of San Francisco opens up. After the Gold Rush, according to the website, the first Cliff House was a modest structure built in 1863 by Senator John Buckley and C.C. Butler, even though Wikipedia states it was built by Sam Brennan in 1858. Anyway, the Cliff House was the omnipotent restaurant in Land's End, overlooking Seal Rocks with breathtaking views of the Pacific Ocean. Not to sound like a tour guide or anything. Visitors to the Cliff House included several U.S. presidents, along with San Francisco elites, the Hearsts, Stanfords, Crockers, and more. In 1883, philanthropist Adolph Sutro purchased the Cliff House, but the schooner Parallel ran aground and exploded, causing damage to the restaurant. And all those guest signatures from the illustrious visitors were burned in the fire. Sutro rebuilt the restaurant, and this time included skating rinks, museums, swimming pools, and so much more, and survived the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, only to be burned to the ground a year later. Sutro's daughter, Dr. Emma Merritt, would rebuild it, then it would pass hands to George and Leo Whitney in the 1930s, eventually became part of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Check it out. 1991. Clarence Thomas is confirmed to the Supreme Court. Born in 1948 in Pinpoint, Georgia, Thomas grew up in Savannah and went to law school at Yale. He rose up the political ranks and was nominated by President Ronald Reagan to head the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. When Thurgood Marshall, the first African American to serve on the Supreme Court, announced his retirement in 1991, President George H.W. Bush nominated Clarence Thomas to fill the seat. Thomas's conservative values would replace Marshall's super liberal policies. The confirmation hearings began on October 11th, and it looked like an easy win for Thomas, until Anita Hill stepped forward and accused Thomas of sexual harassment. Sexual who? Up until 1990, a lot of people didn't know what that meant. In the workplace, men could get away with trying to hit on women, and it happened all the time, and there weren't really any laws preventing it from happening. Anita Hill, who worked with Thomas at the EOOC, complained of him making passes at her, but really didn't have any evidence. In fact, Thomas was able to find more ladies who testified on his behalf, stating he had never made a pass at them. Kinda. Well, maybe a little, but not enough to make it a game changer, I guess. America was divided on this one. Thomas narrowly won the nomination, 52-48. He remains on America's highest court to this day. Sexual harassment laws, meanwhile, began passing to protect women against unwanted gestures in the workplace.
2002, Greenstein passes away.
From New York City, Jesse L. Greenstein started attending Harvard at age 15 and studied interstellar chemical abundances and white dwarfs. And besides being a little white dude, a white dwarf is the observation of matter under a heavy condition that cannot be duplicated anywhere else. Lest you think I'm being a racist. He learned about interstellar dust and its relation to magnetic fields, paving the way to the discovery of quasars. Quasars, or quasi-stellar radio sources, are the most energetic and distant members of a class of objects called active galactic nuclei, or AGN. In 1963, he and Martin Schmidt observed the first cosmological shift of quasars, which is another way of saying that this spectral line was being seen 5 billion light years from Earth. That's billion with a B, folks. And time and space being relative, very, very old objects. According to todayinside.com, Greenstein designed and constructed with the help of Louis Henier a new spectrograph and wide view camera to improve astronomical observations. Jesse Greenfield, Brooklyn, New York, was one of the most important astronomers and astrophysicists in the last century. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for October 15th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For example, have you ever been to the Golden Gate National Recreation Area? I gotta say, it is epic. Or what about that story on Clarence Thomas? How did his actions influence the laws to come of sexual harassment in the workforce? Did he have anything to do with it, or was it just another byproduct of the problem in of itself? So yeah, let me know. And while you're there, you can try some of the multiple choice quizzes. I made them myself. And don't miss tomorrow's episode. I'll talk about the Harper's Ferry Raid, the Fremont Hotel in Boston, the Internet, and Walt Disney. So in the meantime, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.